Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Innovate or die.
At any age.
At any age. That's the harsh reality.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Apple Self. Today, we were graced with greatness. The legendary Mr. Ken Chenault, who not only is a legend in business, he's too deserving of the name Icon. He is truly a business icon, and he takes us on a beautiful journey with his inspiring parents who taught him simply to work hard, show up, be memorable, fight for what you believe in, and above all, always do the right thing. He takes us on an inspiring look that despite how polarizing times could be today, he truly believes in the promise of this country and believes in the people of this country. A moving moment indeed that brought my co-creator, Sonny Jenkins, to tears, and rightly so. Game recognizes Mr. Ken Chenault.
He has spent a lifetime leading thousands with grace and dignity at the helm of American Express, took them to great heights, but also managed that ship through some turbulent times, through crises like 9/11 and the 2008 financial crisis. Always leading by example, he's always talked about being part of the solution and not dwelling on the problem. It is my great honor to introduce Ken Chenault, my friend, my mentor, to our show, Game Recognizes Game. Ken, thank you so much.
It's great to be here, Marty. Always great to spend time with you.
Ken, I have known you now, man, 25 years, maybe more.
Yep.
An honor for me, but for me, the honor is observing. Because we've had so many conversations. Talk about our background. Let's talk a little bit about the seeds of greatness. And yes, sir, you're one of the GOATs. I know you hate hearing that. You're one of the GOATs in business and business accolades. You came from Mineola, Long Island, and humble beginnings to Wall Street, not the Silicon Valley, right? Let's talk about your parents and talk about that upbringing. I know you were classmates with Dr. J.
So I think, Marty, what's really important to understand sort of some of the drivers for me is while I was born in Mineola, I grew up in Hempstead, Long Island. And what was important when I grew up, and I really always make this point, I was born 4 years before Brown v. Board of Education.
Wow.
And the reality is, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if not for that important Supreme Court decision.
I need to roll up my sleeves here, right?
That's right.
That
struck down segregation. And I think what's really important there is America has always had a promise, has always had a dream, hasn't always achieved that dream, but we're always striving for that dream. And my parents really focused on the importance of, one, overcoming obstacles, being proud of who we are, both as Black people, but also as Americans. That was very important. And one of the things that they drilled in us was, as I said, the importance of education, the importance of hard work, the importance of having core values, integrity, honesty, treating people with respect, caring about people. That was so important.
Kindness.
Kindness. And the reality is that that mindset of having grown up really in the civil rights movement, growing up in the era of, I was right in college with all the student protests, anti-Vietnam War protests, all of that was there. It was a period where on one level you saw America in turmoil, but you also saw America moving forward. And I think that that was really important for my development. Secondly, the sports. Sports really...
Ultimate equalizer.
Is the ultimate equalizer. You're absolutely right. And, you know, my background was one where I lived in a neighborhood that was representative of America. We had every ethnic group, nationality there.
The melting pot.
It was the melting pot.
Yeah.
And you proved yourself on the playing field or the basketball court or track and field. But that opportunity where you were up against competition, but at the same time, I also learned a lot about teamwork. And so I think the combination of having parents who really stressed education, stressed values. My father had a great saying, which I use to this day. Whenever I was confronting an issue, he would say, "You're equal to the task." Now think about what that means.
Wow. Wow.
You're equal to the task, meaning you can do it. But what it wasn't was arrogance, that you are superior to everyone else. You're equal to the task.
And whatever that task is.
That's right. Yeah. And the other thing that he would say to me is, there are a lot of things in life that you can't control. But son, there's one thing that you can control, your performance. And that to me was, if you think about it, Marty, that's the ultimate in empowerment. You can control your performance.
We talked so much about just shutting out the noise. And we talk about focusing on what you can control. And I got chills hearing your dad saying that to you, because it was turbulent times.
Absolutely.
It was challenging times. Sure, it's easy to say focus on education, but the country was in upheaval. It was turbulent. It was chaotic. But what I love about the story is that he stuck to the core values, that great things happen, cream rises to the top, educate, fight for what you believe in, right? Stay focused on who you are, right?
Right.
In the environment of turbulent times, right? Tell me, how did you question it at times?
Look, the reality, Marty, is we're all human. And so clearly you got to question, am I going to get an opportunity? Is it fair? And one of the things my father would say is, fair?
Let me talk to you about fair.
Let me tell you what I went through.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, doesn't come close.
Right.
So the issue is, what is it that you're going to do about it? And so I think what's really, really important is my parents were absolute believers and champions of the civil rights movement. That was clear. So they weren't like... Don't demonstrate. They said, "These you've got to demonstrate for your rights. However, you got to move forward, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the problems are." So when I would question and say, "Oh, you know, the system is rigged against us,"
that's right.
So well, okay. So what will you do? You're going to do nothing, or are you going to try to figure it out? And what you got to do is you got to try to figure it out. You know, one of the things, Marty, that I would say, because we're all fortunate, you know, when we think about the issues and the problems that we face, you know, as you know, because I've talked to you about them, Warren Buffett, and I'm on his board at Berkshire Hathaway, and he was a big investor in American Express.
Sure.
He's become a good friend. One of the things that Warren often says is, you got the luck of birth. You know, so all these people who say, I made it on my own, the reality is, did you decide where you were going to be born? That you were going to be born in the U.S.? Did you decide who your parents were going to be? Did you decide what experiences you would have? So I think one of the important things is that despite the predicament that we're in, what we got to say is, what is it that we can leverage? How do we take advantage of our circumstance, as challenging as that circumstance is? Because there's good luck, there's bad luck, and obviously you got to be ready, you got to be capable, you got to be competent. But at the end of the day, for all the issues, I was lucky that I was born a few years before Brown v. Board of Education.
Just a few years.
Just a few years. Yeah. Life would have been totally different. Yeah.
But you took advantage.
Took advantage. You have to.
Right. But you also took advantage while having that fire of your mom and dad just saying, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
What are you going to do? So what you do about it?
Absolutely. So, so at the end of the day,
you went to Boynton.
We haven't, you know, what's really important, and I think it's why I always believe that life takes you through a range of turns. And so I was a kid. I read a lot. The problem is I didn't always read what was assigned in class. So I was
Me too.
I was not a great student until really my sophomore year of high school, when I was started to think about what do I want to do in life. And finally I listened to my teachers, my parents, said you got potential, but you got to apply yourself.
And nothing worse than wasted potential.
That's right, wasted potential. So one of the things that's really important is, you know, and you know this in sports, because we see it all the time, is people have incredible potential, but they don't act on it. They don't have the discipline. So at the end of the day, if you think about my intellectual journey, I had potential, but I wasn't applying the discipline. Then I applied the discipline, and then I applied a level of intentionality that I really want to perform at the highest level. I want to see if I can be the best. And it wasn't that when I was growing up, I said, I want to be CEO of Amex. That wasn't even in my head. I didn't even know what business was. I didn't know anything about it. But what I did know is I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to make a difference.
In high school?
In high school. I wanted to make a difference, absolutely. Because one of the things that I read, I love reading about historical figures. Mm. And that really inspired me. That I could see that individuals could make a difference. I wanted to do things that I thought would have a positive impact. Now, I want to be clear, at 14 years old, I wasn't saying I want to have a positive impact on society. Right. But I did really, and maybe it was the civil rights movement.
Who did you see yourself in?
I saw myself initially, I said, you know, I'm going to be a civil rights leader.
Then Mom I and said, Dad said,
that's right, I'm going to be a civil rights leader. Next thing I said, well, maybe I'm going to go into politics. And what was really important...
At 14, 15.
14, My 15. God. I said, maybe I'll go into politics. Because some of it is that I really tell young people, you know, it's very simple. If you want to learn, read. The reality is reading about historical figures, about people who are making a difference, that really tells you that you can do it. Because I think sometimes people despair and say, what can I do as an individual? Can I really make a difference? And for me, a big advantage, one of the most important things for me, is the biographies that I read about people, because that told me that individuals can make a difference, no matter who they are.
In different times.
In different times.
In very different times.
In very different times.
And maybe they were the same.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Those challenges, very similar changes, because as we know about history buffs, they all say the more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. And you saw that firsthand,
absolutely.
Right? So you take these inspirations from the people, you know, we talk about, you know, the Broadway show Hamilton, and that inspired so many,
right.
but those biographies on everyone, you know, from Ben Franklin to, you know, to George Washington, whatever, it doesn't right. matter. They all made a difference, or at least tried to make a difference in turbulent times. Yeah, so you thought politics, you thought, I want to be an agent of change.
Right.
But then life happens, you have to go to school, right?
Right?
You chose Boyd in college, right? And then you went to Harvard Law School.
Right.
Did you feel like you were on the right path with those two choices, right? In terms of pushing you and motivating you to be that agent of change?
Yeah, I would say two or three things. I think at Bowdoin, I really, I would say intellectually came into my own. I mean,
You read a lot.
I read a lot, but I took all types of courses. By the way, you know, I didn't just take the courses that I thought I knew a lot about. I took courses in subjects that I didn't know a lot about. Chemistry, physics, you know.
Really? As electives?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And the point is,
a little bit of suffering there too, by the way.
Yeah, there is. But that's part of it. Is you know, going up against a real challenge and then really overcoming that challenge. The reality is Bowdoin was a really formative experience for me. And then Harvard Law School, the reality is you're in school with the best of the best. And I remember there was a friend of mine who finished a year ahead of me at Bowdoin, obviously an exceptionally bright, talented guy. And the first day at Harvard Law School, we're in the auditorium listening to the dean, and George says to me, "Hey Ken, are you nervous?" And I said, "Yeah," but I said, "You know, but we're gonna do this," and it was it just was an incredible experience. I did not know necessarily if I wanted to practice law. I thought I might be a litigator. And actually, one of my best friends, very talented guy named Ted Wells, who's co-head of litigation of Paul Weiss, I thought he was going into business and I was going to be a
litigator.
Yeah. And the reality is, obviously, we took different paths. But I think what was important about it is, in law, you got to focus on what are the principles, what are the themes, how do you synthesize different facts and issues, how do you learn about subjects, because you got to argue the case, you got to write the brief, you got to write the memo.
You got to be prepped.
You have to be prepped, you got to prepare. So frankly, people have said, well, now that you're in business, did you waste your time going to law school? I said, absolutely not. It was a really formative experience for me. It's sure. been really helpful in business. And in the world we live in today, one of the things about law is you got to be equally adept at arguing multiple sides of an argument.
Yeah. Even if you disagree with the argument.
Even if you disagree with the argument.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you disagree. In fact,
that's, right.
that's critical. You can't exist. You can't function as a lawyer without being able to do that. But here's where serendipity comes in. I go to a law firm. I'm there for 2 years, and people say, oh, you know, did you hate it? I said, no, I was doing fine. I go out and have dinner with a friend who's at a consulting firm called Bain & Company, which is a very prominent consulting firm.
Renowned.
But it was that time, maybe 5 years, 6 years in existence. And this guy was really energized and really excited. And for whatever reason, Marty, it had a profound impact on me. And what I did was, literally 2 days after that dinner, I write the founder of Bain & Company, Bill Bain. And I said, I'm Ken Chenault. I don't know really anything about business. I had dinner with this guy. He was so energized, so excited. I want to find out more, you know? And as luck would have it, this guy was saying, I actually want to bring in one or two people who have finished medical school and one or two law school graduates, and I'll train them to be consultants because I didn't go to business school.
Or, look at, or law school.
Yeah, or law school, right, right. And look at me. And so I went up, I interviewed, and they hired me. And that is, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to swing for the fences.
Always. And the base hits the same as the home run.
And the reality is, what did I have to lose? You know, it's the old story. What separates a winner from a loser? The winner tries one more time.
That's right.
And so that opened up an incredible opportunity, incredible world to me. But what was important is I pursued that because I was excited. I was passionate, which I think whatever you do, you got to be excited and passionate
about. You were also curious. They say the sign of a great leader is never stop being curious. You wrote a letter still not knowing anything about Bain.
Absolutely.
You knew I needed to know more. Just like when you were a young man reading.
Absolutely.
It was a curiosity. And that curiosity has...
You know, Marty, in this, you know, we have incredible conversations. But one of the things that I look for in people, and you have it also, is that intellectual curiosity. For what I do now, when I consider what companies to invest in and to evaluate the founders, one of the first things I look at is this person intellectually curious? Because that tells you a lot about whether someone really has the level of interest and are they a learner? Because, you know, in life, you got to be a continuous learner.
Yeah. And coaches will say, are you coachable?
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, I would always have this, I would say to my team, I would say, look, at the end of the day, on one level, I'm a coach. On another level, I'm the general manager. On another level,
I'm the
head of the team. I'm the owner of the team.
Yeah.
And the reality is that I think what's important in building a team is you got to have people aligned against what the objective is. What does it mean to win? And then from a leadership standpoint, I'll give you my very simple leadership definition.
I need my MBA. Go ahead. Yeah, go.
For any leader, simple but hard. And it comes from Napoleon. I paraphrased it. I give him credit. But if you Google
he
it... If you Google this quote, my name comes up, not his. But he was really the author. The role of a leader is to define reality and give hope. I think about that and I try to implement that every day because you think about the challenges that you have as a leader, it sometimes becomes very hard to define what's the reality that I'm dealing with. And then the issue is...
With whatever information you have.
Whatever information you have, you have to define reality at that point in time. And then, how do I give hope? What are the tactics? What are the strategies? What are the messages that are going to give people hope? Because if you want to bring about change... And what I call enduring change.
Sustainable change.
Build enduring companies. Yeah. You got to, in fact, be able to define reality and give hope.
Hello, everyone. Exclusively for Game Recognizes Game listeners, our sponsor, I'm so proud to be in partnership with Noble, giving our listeners a 30% discount code for all their products that'll help you achieve all your goals. Please go to nobleproject.com/game to receive your 30% discount. That's www.nobulproject.com/game.
Let's talk about you left Bain and you went to Amex. What was it about American Express at that time?
Good. It's Marty, it's a great question. And again, I think one of the things you'll see...
Because it took you... A lot inspired you.
No.
You know, a lot. And I was always wondering, why Amex?
So, you know, at the end of the day, one of the things themed that you will see is a person who's guided by... curiosity, passion, excitement, and has been helped by serendipity. So literally, true story. I'm reading an article in one of the business magazines. This is 1979. And this is really going to date me. Warner Cable. Cable was emerging. I mean, just think about where we are now.
Where we are now
in the age of AI.
Streaming and AI.
Streaming and cable.
Fast channels, all
and
that.
And there was an experiment going on that they were writing about in Columbus, Ohio, to sell merchandise through, in essence, the television. You know?
And, you mean like an infomercial?
Yeah, it's, you know, it was, you know, it's just crazy. So I said, boy, this is a really interesting technology. And I said, I wanted to read more, and I started to do some, and literally, 2 weeks later, a headhunter calls and says, American Express is looking for some people in their strategic planning group. And the person who this department will be reporting to is Lou Gerstner, the legendary Lou Gerstner,
sure,
who was at IBM. But Lou was at Amex, and he ran the largest division at the company. And so I said, yeah, I'd like to talk to Lou. And
once again, curiosity.
Curiosity. And
sure. I want to speak to Lou.
And Lou Lou was a tough guy, good guy, and he's a good friend. And Lou put me through the paces in the interview. But one of the things that I said to Lou is, here are the reasons why I'm interested. And he said, well, Ken, I think I got that, but that's sort of a narrow focus. American Express, you know.
What he described was a narrow focus.
Yeah, well, he said cable. He said, we're looking just at the cable part of what the company does. Cable's big,
right,
but he said, we also do a lot of things at the company. But he said, and I said, but you know, Lou, I don't know if I really fit in a big company. It could be too bureaucratic. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing in consulting. And Lou said, look, I was a consultant, and with all due respect, I was a really great consultant. And he said, but here's the difference. Now I'm running things. Now I'm not just giving recommendations. I'm executing.
Ideas.
And that's what's really important. So he said, look, here are the reasons why you should come. And he went through them. And that was really the core reason. And so I went. And I get there thinking I'm going to work on this cable joint venture. It's not what I'm assigned. And I get assigned working on a strategy for a direct mail. At that time, it was called direct mail, not direct response. Direct mail fulfillment house. And I said, give me a break. I made a big mistake. I say to Kathy, I don't know what this is, but here's the other point. That this direct mail fulfillment house was one of the original pioneers of data analysis. Mm. And
consumer behaviors.
Consumer behavior, yeah. Micro-segmentation. They had two or three people that were not well-known inside of the company who were absolutely brilliant. And one of them was the founder of this company. And we developed a relationship. He took me under his wing. He taught me a lot of the methods. And you think about what's happened in marketing, data, analytics.
Everything.
It's everything, right?
Everything.
So if you think about the time frame, right? 1981, I'm in the early stages of that. So that set me up in a really powerful way in the company.
Yeah.
And you know, I worked on a range of projects across the company, and then I was...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Offered two promotions into the card business, and I turned them down.
In the card business?
Card business. That was the big business,
sure.
Right?
That's the business. Yeah.
I turned them down instead to work for a company that sold merchandise through the mail.
You left that?
No. Okay. I was still at Amex.
Okay.
Think about pre-internet, pre-Amazon. All right. This was a company, wasn't making much money, whatever, but
direct mail.
If you think about what they did is we sourced products all around the world. So here at 32 years old, I'm traveling to Hong Kong, I'm going to London, I'm going to Paris. I have buyers, we're purchasing products, we're taking inventory. It was like a fascinating experience, and we grew the business from 150 million to 750 million in 3 years. It was an incredible opportunity. It was a business that no one, even Lou said, Ken, I wouldn't do that. But at the end of the day, I followed my instincts, what I was going to do. And the other thing, Marty, in the balance that I always say to people about risk, say this to my team, I'm all for risk. But understand if you're taking a small, medium, or large risk. And I remember talking about it with Kathy, and Kathy said, what if it doesn't work? I said, Kathy, I'm 32 years old. I'll be okay.
Turn the page.
Yeah.
Do it again.
I'll move. It's not a big risk. But other people looking at, this is a gigantic risk. Why would he do this? I said, I want to learn because I have the opportunity. Rather than just be responsible for one function, I was responsible for all the functions. I was the general manager of that business.
Yeah.
So that was one of the most important opportunities that I had, and then I went into card business.
And you also learned every aspect of every role and the responsibilities of every role. Just like a sports team, you knew every single person, their roles, their responsibilities, their top up report, their top down report, all that.
Right? Marketing, merchandising, technology, operations, customer service, the whole thing. And then one of the things that was important, because mentors have played a really important role in my life, all through my life. And I had mentors at Bain, I had mentors at the law firm, I had mentors in my early days. But one of my mentors was a person who ran an agency, a direct mail agency. His name was Lenny Sachs. And Lenny was incredibly charismatic. He was a born marketer. And we developed a really close bond. We became close friends. Big age difference, but we were like peas in a pod. And it was, I learned so much from him that experience in merchandise services, I brought a whole different mindset when I went into the card business.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You talk, curiosity has been the seed throughout your life.
Right.
And let's fast forward. You took American Express, a Fortune 500 company, to great heights. You have a quote that you love to talk about, that if you want to lead, you need to learn to serve.
That's right.
That is, in principle, a beautiful and stunning and profound concept. Take that for a moment. And we know about the great success. Let's talk about the crises, 9/11, the 2008, how that principle helps you do, like, lead.
Yeah, so I think, Marty, you know, what I believe in, you know, if you're a leader, you're in service. You're in service to your people, you're in service to your customers, you're in service to your shareholders. That's what you gotta be focused on. But if you're the leader, at the end of the day, you gotta win. But you also have to deal with challenges because you don't know what's gonna happen. So 9/11 was my first year as CEO.
My Lord.
And we lost 11 of our colleagues who were in the North Tower. I was in Salt Lake City. And
on business.
On business at one of our operating centers. And I was actually on a conference call with some of my team in New York City. And I heard screams on the phone because we were right across the street from the World Trade Center. They saw the plane hit. Then people evacuated, then silence.
Your building was
my building.
Right down there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I turned on the news, saw what was happening. Kathy, who you know well, called me. And, you know, it was just a very frightening set of experiences. But one of the things that I had to do was think about what were the steps I was going to take. So the first thing I said was...
First year CEO.
First year. I said, I got to focus on safety and security of our people and our customers, because we didn't know the extent of this attack. And so one of the things we did was we said we want to identify Amex employees and customers all around the world to ensure that they were safe. Second thing I said was we're probably going to need to get real estate space. I mean, you think about, why would you think of that? Well, the reality is...
Yeah, got to move.
We were right across the street, you know, didn't know what was going to be the impact on our building. Turned out from the attack, we suffered 11 floors in the American Express Tower were damaged. Not from... We were collateral damage.
Sure. As so many people were.
That's right. Yeah. So many people in the area were. And... Our business, as you can imagine, one, we had the most important sad situation of 3,000 people killed, as we know, 11 of our colleagues, and dealing with all the human pain and suffering. And that was the first priority, first, second, third priority. Yeah. Then we had to face the business issues. And who wanted to travel after 9/11?
Get on a plane.
Yeah, right?
Right.
That business, card business, the spending, the economy was threatened. And so one of the things that I decided, and this is where it is important from leadership, because you would say on one level, Ken, you're saying you need to be of service to people. What does that mean? Well, part of being in service to people is, one, I had to define the reality of the situation we're in. And I said, look, I think the economic model is changing. And one of the things I said we're going to have to do.
No one's traveling.
I said, one of the things we're going to have to do. And we had the beginnings of the internet era, which were already happening, that were now accelerated. And I ended up deciding we're going to have to lay off close to 15% of our workforce.
A very, very difficult decision.
Very difficult. Now, what was important about that is, and one can be, and I'll sit here right here, one can be very cynical and say, Ken, yeah, you know, of course you would do that. And now you're saying that you care about people. But the point is that I had to face the harsh reality that if I didn't make that decision at that point in time, we would be in far worse shape going forward. Yeah. Now, how to do that with compassion? One of the things we focused on is trying to help people find jobs, giving them job counseling, giving them very generous severance benefits. But let me be clear, that doesn't stop the pain.
Of course not.
You know, you're still firing someone. And not because they're not performing their job. It's because of the circumstances that we're in. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Then the hope part was saying, here are areas that we're going to selectively invest in to grow. Because it's not enough to say, here's what I'm going to do here. This is a really bad situation. You know what? It's a really bad situation, and there's not much we can do. No, you got to say, here are the tangible reasons to have hope. That was really tough. Now, one of the things we do as a company,
we're going to invest in this for that hope.
For that hope. Yeah. And one of the things we did as a company and still do, my successor, Steve Squeery, who's doing a great job, we do an employee survey. And part of your incentive compensation is based on the satisfaction levels, the engagement level of people. And so naturally, the team said, are you going to still do the survey? We're laying off all these people. I said, yes, because we're accountable for what happens. And partly because of the situation that I think people saw the world in post 9/11, and I think partially because of how the leadership, broadly, the leadership handled the situation, we got the highest scores on the survey. People said, I don't like being
fired.
Fired, but this leadership team
were honest.
They were honest with me. They were transparent with me. You know, and I think what's important is that people remember those times. And then the other thing I did, Marty, that was very important is I felt the need to connect in a more intimate level. So we took over the Paramount Theater in Madison Square Garden, and we had all the employees from a tri-state area come. And this is one where, you know, from a sports standpoint, you go with your instincts, you make the move. And so some of my people said, look, here are some remarks you should make. And I said, I don't want to, I'm just going to talk to people, tell them how I feel, tell them what I think is important. That event became a touchstone for people. It went all over the world to our team, but it was important for people to see me, that I cared, that I was empathetic, that I recognized the reality of the situation we're in, but I was also confident that we would get through. And
they held their hand when they needed.
That's right, and that's really important. And people need to see that authenticity.
You know, the theme in business is always it's about relationships. But when people say that, they talk about the positive aspects of those relationships. and building that over time. You echo that, but you also, what about those relationships in tough times?
Those, you know, that's where you see, frankly, Marty, I always, you know, when I'm hiring someone, I always want to find out, what was the toughest issue that you dealt with? Take me through some of the things that didn't work. Take me through some of your mistakes and how you handled it. Because the reality is that crises really do reveal character. And, you know, if I go to the financial crisis, for example, there were a number of companies that people weren't clear about whether they would survive or not. And one of the things I've always tried to do, I can't say this is necessarily from sports, but when I've talked to some of the great coaches, is simplify things. I'll tell you what my mantra was in the financial crisis. Stay liquid. I explained what that meant to everybody in the company. We got to stay
spending,
liquid.
Stop spending, save our cash.
Here are some of the things that we need to do to stay liquid. I said, I want to do what a number of companies won't be able to do. I want to stay profitable. Not because of the short term, but because it'll say, American Express is a company that even in the most challenging financial crisis over the last 100 years was able to stay profitable. And then, similar to what I did in 9/11, we're going to selectively invest in growth. And everything we did as an organization was driven around those three operating principles, which is the other thing in a crisis. What you got to do is, yes, you got to project calm, you got to give direction, but you got to give people a framework, you know, and then you got to give people signposts of how do I tell if we're making progress? Well, I would say, look, on the stay liquid one, here are the steps we've taken. There's some real progress being made here. We're staying profitable. We're investing in growth. And while it was an incredibly challenging time, the other thing I said to people is we're going to emerge from this crisis stronger than ever. And the best days are going to be ahead of us. Now, fortunately...
That's the coach in you.
Fortunately...
That's the coach in you.
Fortunately, that's what happened.
Yeah.
But you got to give people, you know, some real reasons to be hopeful. Yeah. And if I'd said, we're going to emerge stronger, but I hadn't said, well, here are the three things we have to do, people would have said, well, Ken, what's the plan?
What's the plan?
Where's
my playbook?
That's right.
Right. It's fascinating because you talk about this, that in the time of no clarity, in time of fear, you say, we're going to invest in us.
Right.
Because I believe in us, and no better person, no better company to invest in than us.
Right.
And that risk is also a sign of a leader, that it falls on you.
Absolutely.
And you were willing to take that.
It's not just a shoe. It's an innovative, personalized treatment for your body, designed to relieve knee or lower back pain and get you moving better. Apos, precisely what you need.
We fast forward. Now you are managing director and chairman of General Catalyst, a renowned venture capital firm. But even before General Catalyst and Anamics, you love mentoring the next leaders. And you've done that a lot with athletes transitioning, athletes have built a big brand, and now what, next chapter? And now I know you are spearheading how to educate young athletes in the NIL environment.
Right.
So let's talk about that. You know, I guess we could stick with NIL because, man, what a new landscape that is. When you hand over, an 18-year-old, you know, a few million dollars, and then here you go, what are you gonna do now?
Look, I have to tell you, Marty, this has had a transformational impact on college sports. But I think if we go back, college athletics, particularly basketball, football, have been incredible commercial opportunities
for schools, owners.
For the last, 50 years,
and exactly.
Certainly that's only accelerated.
Yeah.
And the reality is everybody was making money except
The athlete.
The athletes. Yeah. So that's a problem. Now, maybe if there was a recognition of that sooner, this could have been managed in a more controlled way. But you can't have everyone else reaping the dollars and the people, in fact, who are
making the dollars.
Making the dollars are the product. Yeah. They don't get anything.
That's right.
So one, I want to be very clear is I do think, given all that's happened, athletes should be paid. My own view is that, you know, for the colleges, particularly for the top schools in football and basketball, it's a full commercial enterprise, right? You're under a one-year contract.
That's right.
You know, if you're the best, you're...
Transactional.
Right, it's transactional, right. And what do you get? And I think one of the things we don't have is a platform that can help these young people, working with them on financial, of their financial affairs.
And education.
We want them to be financially literate. We want them to have some opportunity to learn. But I think one of the things we need to do is we should think about a customized program. You know, if you're 1 year, how do we assess with the athlete and with their parents, what's the program that we're going to put you through for a year? But to say all you're going to do is take classes for a year and then you're gone, and, you know, those who want to pursue an academic pathway, I am 100% for, and I would encourage athletes to do that.
Education go back is like
Steph Curry did and others. Yeah. Sure. I would absolutely do that. But I would also give people the option to say, we're going to put together a specialized platform and program for you. I think the pressure on students, I mean, when I was coming up, you know, what you didn't have is at 9 or 10 years old being ranked.
That's right.
As you know.
As I know.
You know, your sons.
Yep, my sons, yeah.
Yeah, so the reality is, it's a whole, I'm not saying that's horrible, but
or
I'm
right
saying.
Right or wrong, we don't
I'm
know.
Right or wrong.
Right, right.
All I'm saying is a different reality, and what I'm emphasizing is, it's really important that we define reality. What's the situation we're in?
That's right.
What is it that needs
that's
to change?
Fascinating, because it's still that's new
right.
reality.
Yeah, and the point is, that for us to say we're going to follow the same process that we had 30 years ago for today's athletes makes no sense.
That makes no sense. So you have to evolve.
So we have to evolve. And I think what we got to do is we got to get the stakeholders involved. The colleges.
The NIL funds.
The networks, yeah. The NIL funds. And we got to really say, how do we structure something that can work? Now, I don't think, frankly, now you can put the genie back in the box on the money that's out there. So the issue is, what are the support structures that can be put in place to help, to me, the main customer, and that's the athlete.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that what's happening with NIL is, yes, they deserve to be paid 100,000%, but they lose out on the mentorship of the coach, and they switch schools, there's no loyalty, they lose out about the growth you're gonna get being coached by some of the best. However, now you're saying, let's not get away from that coaching, let's not get away from that education. It's a different type of education.
It's a different type,
right?
Absolutely.
You know?
And what's the mentorship? And the reality is, as we know, coaches move.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if mentorship is critical, which it is, how can we either supplement what the coach might do? You know, the reality
is... That's right. Because he may only have 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, I will give you one example is that You know, one of the companies that I'm involved in from an education standpoint, every student is assigned a coach, a personalized coach. The reality is, as we put a program together, would it be helpful to have a life coach for each student?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what we should do, but what I'm trying to communicate is we got to evolve our approaches, because we all agree things have changed.
It's a different time. Whether it's companies
ball game.
Or NIL, you
it's
have
a whole
to
different
evolve
ball
with the time.
And
coaches have to. Some coaches we know have
right.
retired because they're done
yeah.
with that concept.
Absolutely.
It's, God, this is, we can talk about this forever. It's a, there's some beautiful concepts in here. All right, we're going to do change the subject. We're going to do a segment that I love. It's called Moving the Chains. And it's brought to you by our sponsor, Noble. That is a footwear brand that is dedicated to helping folks achieve their physical, mental, emotional strength. And the concept of moving the chains, we've talked about, it's just a first down.
Right.
But it's a small win.
Right.
Right? You have enough small wins, you're having a pretty good day.
Right.
Right? Tell me something that you love to do every day that it's a non-negotiable to help move the chains for you. To move that day forward a little
bit.
Well,
you know, Marty, what that is, and I do it a lot of mornings with you, is I think trying to be in peak physical shape is critical if you want to be in peak mental shape. And
mind-body connection.
It's mind-body, and I believe in that strongly. I feel several things. One is, not only feel better physically and mentally, but I feel some pride in that I've accomplished something.
And showed up.
Small
and
thing,
showed
but
up.
I showed up,
yeah.
and I executed.
That's right.
And I did it, and to be able to look back and say, this is something that I'm trying to do every single day. That's important.
You're just showing up.
Absolutely.
One last question. We love this topic called Thoughts from 30,000 Feet. Just a couple of questions just to contemplate, be a little deeper, but not too much time because
right.
we don't have...
Right.
If you had the privilege of sitting here with your 18-year-old Ken Chenault, what would you tell him?
So what I would tell an 18-year-old Ken is you can make an incredible difference as an individual, but you got to be willing to put in the work. And you got to be willing to be self-aware. So let me leave you with something a little bit heavy, Marty, that one of my mentors when I was 19, can you imagine hearing this as a 19-year-old Ken, said, Ken, what do you think is the greatest modern sin? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it's lack of consciousness. Because at the end of the day, in the world we live in today, you got to be aware of everything. Now, no one can be aware of everything, but what it means is that, to me, that if you're conscious, fully conscious, the power that you have and your ability to succeed goes up exponentially. Because how many times do you find, we all go through it, we say, geez, I didn't realize that that person was going to react this way, or I didn't realize... But the issue is, one of the things that we can see, certainly with generative AI, is there's a lot that is ascertainable now. And so my point is, let's be as aware as we can be.
Yeah.
That's the advice I would give.
That's just fantastic. And on that note... God, we could talk about AI till we're blue in the face. That's the future, but keep adapting, keep changing, keep showing up, and always be curious.
Yeah, look, I go back to, I won't remember the whole quote by Darwin, But the reality is what really does separate human beings and the great ones is they're the ones that are most adaptable to change. And
that's what this show is all about.
And so one of the things, Morty, that one of my other maxims that I say to people, innovate or die.
At any age.
At any age.
That's fantastic.
That's the harsh reality.
Ken, you're a dear friend, a mentor, and it's been an honor observing you because I've known you almost 25 years, and I've drawn inspiration by how you lead your life as a father, as a husband, and yes, an accomplished business titan, but it's all of those things. And today you wrapped it all in a beautiful little bow. And from the days as a young man, you were always curious, and the curiosity led you to adapt.
Well, right? Well, Marty, right back at you. I really do mean that.
Thank you.
And you're a great friend. You make sure that I keep my promise every day.
It's an honor to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.